He has been gloriously pouring out his glory, and we are living in the revelation of that glory. And it is increasing. It's getting deeper. It's stronger, thicker. We are understanding even more what it means to live in the glory, in the revelation of the glory that we've received. We've received some glory, some revelation. We receive that revelation in the glory, and he wants us to live in that, to literally live from a position of understanding what he's already deposited unto us. Amen? And so a church with a manifestation, which is the appearing or the revealing, is operating in the now of God. We are a church that's operating in the now of God. We're operating in the now of God. Everything that God has done, spoken, shown us, brought us into, revealed unto us. Lord, we thank you and we say, yes, Lord, do it again and do more. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your holy presence. We thank you, Lord God, that you have shown us the way. Lord, you have opened up that portal over us, God. We hunger and thirst for you, Lord God, and we shall be filled and satisfied, Lord God, because, Lord, we hunger for your presence. So thank you, Father God. A church with a manifestation of God is operating in the now of God. In other words, what is God doing right now? Because there's a now movement of God that a church that understands the glorious outpouring is going to operate in it. We're operating in it. Amen? Thank you, Father. Paul lived in the revelation that he received in the realm of glory. Paul did. Paul lived in that revelation. So we have to be able to be open to what God is showing us in this time and place. Very, very open, because he wants to show you things, and then he wants you to walk in those things. What good is it if God continues to reveal things to you, the truth to you, but then you go, wow, what a great service, what a great, you know, I learned so much. But then you don't hang on to that which is learned, that which he is showing you. You don't walk in it. Are you really changed? No, you just had a really feel-good service. But for us to walk in that change, we've got to grab hold of it. We got to grab hold of the revelation God is showing us and walk in it. So in other words, we're going to make it ours. Paul had a revelation. I mean, he had such a divine impartation. He had to be knocked off his horse and be blinded for 3 days for God to speak to him, for him to see it. And then what? Did this man change? 100%, right? I mean, he's changed so much that he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? He wrote those. And what do? We read it. And when we read it, we change. Why? Because he had a revelation of God. And so he didn't just go, yeah, that was an incredible, you know, revelation. And then poof, it's over, it's done. I'm back onto same old business. No, instead, he wrote it down. It was written down. We receive it. When we receive it, when we go, wow, you know, Lord, that's for me too. What was spoken, it's for me too. And if it's mine, then Lord, I'm going to walk in it, not just know it. I'm going to walk in the revelation of it. Amen. So a church with a revelation is operating in the now of God, because God is doing something right now. He's doing something right now. Amen. His life was transformed. And so will we be. So we're not going to say we had a revelation. Okay. We're living in the revelation. Paul lived in the revelation. He lived in the understanding of what took place in his life. He lived in that. We're not going to say it was something from the past. We're saying it's something that is now, and it's going to carry us into our tomorrows. Because changed means you're changed. Amen? Are we understanding? Are we following with what I'm saying here right now? Truth changes us. The revelation of God and his word changes us. Amen? Thank you, Father. And so he wants to deposit in you something far, far greater. When we live and we walk in that realm of God's glory. So, Lord, let every eye be opened and every ear understand, hear, and every spirit be open to seeing and hearing and knowing what you're doing, because it is a now move of God, and we want to receive it all. And we will not be left going, wow, it's great, but I have no idea what she's talking about. It was wonderful. I can't remember a thing. That happens. It happens. Sometimes it happens because you're so in the realm of God's glory, you do have to go back and re-listen. And that's, I understand that, and that's good. But let it not be the enemy stealing from you what God is depositing in you. That's not good. Amen? Amen? So we know in 1 John 4:4, the Bible tells us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater. The greater one lives on the inside of you, right, Jess Marie? The greater one lives on the inside of you. So we're rising up in victory and we're rising up in glory. Amen? And in Ephesians 1:19, yeah, feel free to clap. Feel free to shout. I'm not preaching to the walls and I'm not preaching to chairs. I'm preaching to people that have flesh and blood. They're alive in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So in Ephesians 1:19, it says, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us. Hallelujah, that could preach. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe is working in us. He is working in us. He is working in us according to this verse in Ephesians 1:19. There is an exceeding greatness of his power in you. There is an exceeding greatness of his power in me. His power is being released in the realm of the glory. His power is being released in us so that we understand what we didn't understand yesterday. And if the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in us, then there is absolutely nothing that's going to keep us down and bound. And so in Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and we know it is, if the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, powerful verse. We know that his spirit is living on the inside of us. He says, he who raised Christ from the dead, it's already done. He already raised Christ from the dead. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give your mortal bodies. Because of what? Because of his spirit who lives in you. You've got power. You've got resurrection power. You've got staying power. You have an understanding that Christ in you is the hope of glory and nothing is going to change it. So you're going from glory to glory. Amen? So we are a church with a revelation of the glory of God. And I'm saying this over and over because I want you to understand that with that revelation, we need to walk in that revelation. With that truth, we need to walk in that truth. Let's turn our words to 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Through 21. It says, and so we have, we already have it. So we have the prophetic word confirmed. We already have the prophetic word confirmed in us, which you do well to heed. We got to listen to that prophetic word in us. We need to heed it as light that shines in dark places. We carry in us the prophetic word as light that shines in dark places. What is it that we carry? The revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected from the dead and has come back, the King of Kings, that he is in his, by his spirit. He lives on the inside of us, and so he is making his glory known to you so that you are not lacking. You are instead filled with an exceeding power, not less. Not a lesser power, but an exceeding power. And so in 2 Peter 1 and 19, it says, and so we have, say, I already have it. I have it today. I have it right now. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. What's the prophetic word? The word of God. And it's confirmed over and over and over and over by the word of God. The word will confirm the word. And it says, which you will do well to heed it. You will do well to listen to it and say, this is mine. I'm ready to feast. I'm about ready to have an incredible, glorious meal. I'm about ready to sit before this banqueting table and be full. Amen? And so you would do well to heed as a light that shines in dark places until the day dawns. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The morning star needs to rise within you. Who is the morning star? Jesus is the morning star. And when his word starts to rise up on the inside of you and the revelation of that word starts to rise up on the inside of you, it's like the light has shined in dark places. That which would have seemed dark before, now it's like the light of Christ shining. Why is this important? Because you are called to be a light, a city on a hill. You were called to actually walk in increased measures of glory, releasing what has been received and understood and living in the realm of the revelation of God's glory. What's been revealed? Walk in it. What has God shown you? Let it be yours so that the light of Christ can rise up in you and so that you would walk it out. Am I making sense? Are we starting to get it? It says, until the morning star rises in your heart.
The Lord loves a hilarious giver. In his word, he talks about hilariously giving. And I've got to say, because of people like you, God has expanded the ministry's reach to where we are now in 236 million homes preaching the gospel for Jesus Christ. This is incredible. And I wanted to take a moment right now and encourage some of you that have not yet decided to become a partner, a monthly partner, that this would be an incredible time for you to jump in and become a monthly partner with us here at this ministry. The gospel is being preached and people's lives are being changed. And I am excited to where the Lord is taking this ministry. Is it because of us? No, it's all because of Jesus Christ and faithful partners like you. God bless you as you pray and become a monthly partner.
Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men that were moved by the Spirit of God. So, it's not a new revelation that we are referring to. We're not talking about some new revelation. Let's make sure that the church listens and hears. It's a fresh encounter. I am referring to a fresh encounter from the Spirit of God, a fresh encounter that you understand what Jesus has already finished. We're not talking about a new revelation. The Bible already very clearly warns against that. But we're talking about a fresh encounter where you have been encountered by the Holy One. And you're the encounter that you have received from Jesus causes the explosion of Christ in you to arise to a level that you didn't know. And the boldness of God comes upon you. Why? Because you have a revelation of who Christ is in you. Are you following? Are we following? Yeah. So when we're talking about a revelation, when I'm not saying something new, there's nothing new under the sun, but I am talking about a fresh encounter, the revelation of understanding who he is. And it's confirmed in and through the word. Amen? Because we know in part, but God is revealing more and more, right? So it's not a new revelation. It's a fresh encounter with what Jesus has already finished. He is still pouring out. The day of Pentecost, as glorious as it was, is still taking place. He is still pouring out his Spirit. He will continue to pour out his Spirit on sons and daughters. He is still pouring out his Spirit. So the revelation of who Christ is still flowing into you. And when we embrace what he is flowing into us and we understand it and we say, Lord, how do I walk in that? How does that change my everyday life? That's when it's like Jesus's light starts to arise in your heart and you walk differently. Amen. So you get filled with the knowledge of his love and then you're transformed. Isn't that true? There was a point in time where you had an understanding of the knowledge of God's love. The love of God became real to you. You had an understanding, a revelation. God showed you. The word started to jump off of the page. And every time you would read a scripture about the love of God, it just did something deep on the inside of you. You may have read it time and time again. But when God started to reveal what was already written in your spirit, man, then you became alive. It became manna to you, right? The word is manna. But you started to get a fresh encounter of what is truth. And you changed. We change, right? And this is what happened to Saul. And he was transformed into Paul. Saul transformed into Paul. How? The glory of God filled him. We have been talking about the glory of God. The glory of God filled his vessel. Literally filled his vessel. The glory of God filled Moses. Filled his vessel. And I've said already how the glory of God is filling us with a greater glory. The glory of God is filling us. Filled Saul. Saul became a Paul. He went from being a persecutor of Christians. This should give somebody hope. He went from being a persecutor of Christians to one that it was bold and radical, a bold, radical Christian himself. And one that went on to do incredible things in the kingdom. And he believed God and God took him. And you know, those years in the desert where God spoke these truths and he wrote them down and we read them and we understand. When we read through the Pauline letters, we understand that this is manna for us to walk in today. And this is God's glory being revealed to us so that we walk in the anointing and the authority that it carries. The word carries anointing because it is anointed. Christ, the anointed one. The word is Christ. So the anointing that it carries lives in us. So every one of you are anointed with the glory that Jesus had in his word being delivered to you. Are we following? Because this is pretty rich. It's rich. You know, and revelation comes in layers, and we're aware of that. And the more that you hear, and the more that you understand, the deeper the revelation starts to come about for you, the more you get to grab a hold of and connect the dots. You know what I mean, right? And so when he wrote, he had this glorious encounter. I mean, God first has to blind him. We know that. But it still was glory. The light of Christ shone. And he was like, you know, transformed. He was like, oh, my goodness, you know. And God had to speak. What are you doing? You're kicking against the goads. He says, Lord, he knew. He had already witnessed. He had witnessed Stephen's stoning. He already saw. What do you think that did to his heart? We don't know, but we do know this one thing. There's a good chance God was using that scenario to bring a conviction, because it wasn't that long after when this whole event happened. We have to understand this is a person's life and the different steps that took place, and God uses everything and he doesn't waste anything. At the moment, he said yes to the stoning, but you know he had to go to bed that night. And you know he had to wake up the next day. And you know he had to go to bed the next night. And you know he had to wake up. And of course, he was fine with killing Christians. But when the power of God showed up in glory, Saul changed. And I know, because we know the nature of Christ, that he uses everything along the way to produce that change. They all had a place in his story. All those hard, difficult things that we look at and go, my goodness, he was a hater of Christians and he imprisoned them and killed them and he had no problem doing that. But God used every single one of those things to change this man into a man that he was called to be. And why do I say that's going to encourage some of you? Because the same is true for you, for me, and for those that you're believing for. The same is true. It's nothing for God to release his glory upon an individual and to open up the eyes of his understanding. Nothing at all. Nothing. And so he wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit in the revelation of glory. And that revelation is now ours. And we read it and it jumps off of a page. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And it says here, it says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. And we need to stop right there. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, when it pleased God. In other words, when it was God's divine assignment for the revelation to be revealed unto Paul, unto us, when God's truth, his wisdom, when it was time for the fullness to be released unto him, to us, it came to pass. Many people quit along the road and give up. And maybe they don't give up on themselves, but they give up on others. And we're not doing that, are we? When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. You're called through the grace of God. And Paul knew that. He knew that because he had an encounter that changed his life. He knew that because he understood, I'm going to live under the understanding of this encounter that I have had. Have you had encounters with the Lord? I'm sure you have. God wants you to understand what he was speaking about in those encounters and live in the understanding of that encounter. That's what Paul did. He could have just got up and said, well, thank God I got my sight back to normal life. But he didn't. He walked in the understanding of what that encounter showed him, right? And so he knew here he was called through by the grace of God. He understood. Pride had to get knocked down, huh? He understood he was called not because of his expertise, not because of his high achievements and high earnings. And you know what I'm saying? He's not because of where he came from, not because he was trained up under the best. No, no, no. It had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with the fact that the glory of God poured out upon him because he was a man that God called. And we are people that God has called, right? And so he was called through his grace to reveal his son. So it says, when God separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, he revealed his son in him. And this is still the same. We could read through this whole portion of scripture and that's just be on and go into the next, get to the heart of what he's talking about, but he already spoke it. To reveal Christ in us is the key. The Lord wants to reveal Christ in you. Everything that God does in your life, everything that he wants to show you, everything that he wants to reveal to you is all, and it has to be, it must be all about Christ in you. The core, the root of it, the bottom line, it has to be Christ in you, not you and how great you are, or not you and how valuable you are, not you and how much God wants to use you or bring you into a new thing. He wants to reveal Christ in you. You want to learn somebody, you want to see somebody that is doing great things for the Lord and really truly has good fruit, it's Christ in them. They have an understanding, the revelation of it's Christ in me, and it's not just lip service. It's not just lip service. It cannot be just lip service. Truly, truly, who is Christ? He is the King of Kings. He lives on the inside of us. Are you allowing the revelation of who Christ is in you to be revealed through you because you have been called? Paul was called. We have been called. Revelation, and it comes in layers. Our life should be completely spent upon revealing Christ in us. Should be completely spent on that. So to reveal Christ in me, that I might preach him, I say this is a person that has been undone in the glorious presence of Christ. Christ in me, that I may preach him. Christ is in me, but I'm also, Christ is coming out of me. I'm going to preach him. To reveal Christ, he says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Then he says, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. He says, I had this encounter. I had this revelation. I didn't go ask everybody around me. I didn't go ask, you know, my neighbors and, you know, family members, hey, is this good? Do you think this is right? Do you think this is God? What do you think? He says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and I to return again to Damascus. He's like, I went into the presence of God by myself to seek God, and he showed up and showed me and taught me things that I would have not understood had I not made that time and space with him. So the glory of God starts to stir, and it starts to increase, and it starts to intensify. That's how he likes it. Could he come quickly? Of course he can. But he longs for your presence, and he lingers so that we would linger. I already taught you on that, how in the presence, when you get there, what do? It's beautiful. It's glorious. Are we all following? I want to make sure that we are all following. I'm seeing big yeses. Well, it is beautiful. It is glorious. And I understand that we are all at different places in God, but he does want to reveal more and more of what I'm speaking about. It's a revelation of the Son of God. I'm really just talking about a revelation of Jesus. I'm really just talking about an understanding of who Christ is in you so that you walk with that on your lips. Why? Because what you received in the realm of God's glory is all about him and really not about you. Does that make it more clear? And so why is that important? Because God, you've been called. You have been called, like Paul, so that you could be a revelator, so that you could go and revelate. You can speak forth what you now know, but you got to know it. And I'm not talking about, I got to know the Bible from, you know, beginning to end. Well, that would be good. But how about just knowing what you do know that he has revealed to you and being so completely sold out with that, that you give that out everywhere you go. It's actually how you walk in the revelation, not you had a revelation. Now you're walking in the revelation that God has spoken. It's basically teach what you know. But it's not just teach what you know. It's impart what you have been imparted with.
Acts 26:19, because he had that incredible encounter, and he spoke. He says to King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was not disobedient to that which was this heavenly vision. Paul recounted his conversion on the road to Damascus to this king, to King Agrippa, because the revelation he had in the glory was not just for himself, and he knew it. He knew it. Now, I had touched already on, and I said that there's nothing new under the sun. I'm not talking about a new revelation, right? It's very clear that there's the revelation comes from God, and he's given us fresh encounters. Amen? And so in Hebrews 1:1-2, Hebrews 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He has spoken to us by his Son. Done. Remember that. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. Now let's look over to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, 18-19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that were written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away, he says, take away his part from the book of life. So what are we saying here? Don't add to the word. The revelation that God gives you is because Jesus, let's go back to Hebrews. In this last day, he spoke to us through his Son. Jesus is speaking to you, confirming the word. See, when people don't understand this and they get these wild, crazy, random revelations and they think that's God, and that's how cults are started, and that's how people get deceived. We're talking about the understanding of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're understanding that the revelation is Christ speaking to us via the word, confirming the word, showing us things in the word, showing that we're going to take part in that and giving us a greater, bold understanding to walk it out because it becomes ours. So a church with a revelation shows principalities. A church with a revelation shows principalities and powers who the real power is. We are the church. And so a church with a revelation, we have a revelation of who Christ is in us, right? So therefore, we show principalities and powers who the real power is and where the real power comes from. The manifested power of God in us, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that he will never be defeated. What do we know? We know that he will never be defeated. We know that Christ in us will never be defeated. Do you have the revelation of that? That Christ in you will never be defeated, which means you will never be defeated as long as you are walking in line and in sync with the truth of God's word. It has to become revelation. It cannot be something that you know, yeah, I know. Then it's not revelation to you yet. If it is just a scripture that you memorize, the victory of Christ is yours. And if it's just a scripture you memorize, but it hasn't reached your inner man and it's not yet embedded within you, in your inner spirit man, then it's not revelation yet. It's just something you know. It's something you're understanding. It's something you're learning. And that's okay, because we got to start somewhere. But you got to get to the place. That's why I said, Paul went to the backside of the desert. We need to spend some time in the word and in his presence to let these things get deeper in our spirit man so that they become revelation to us. So that we walk out that revelation instead of saying, I had a revelation. No, I live that revelation. I live it. I'm living in it every day. It's actually transformed me. So I see differently. I think differently. I act differently. Amen? Ephesians 3:10 talks about the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Who's supposed to be making known the manifold wisdom of God but us, the church? The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. We have a responsibility to do. Amen? And so you can, since you are the church, you can actually insert your name in that. How the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through, put your name in it, through me. The manifold wisdom of God must be made known through you, Carrie. Yeah, through you. Every single one of you. And to whom? To the powers and principalities that are trying to come against a child of the Most High God. You are to be the one to show the powers and the principalities where the real power lies and with whom the real power lies. And it is Christ in you, the manifold wisdom and presence of God. Amen? When you get the understanding of that revelation of the love of God for you, no matter what tapes the devil tries to play in your head, of the past, when you know that you know that you know that you have been so saturated in God's love, that he loves you, that he is for you, that he would do anything, move heaven and earth to rescue you. You don't let the old affect the new. You don't let the past affect the now. You just don't, because you have a true revelation. It is our job to show the devil how things are going to go. It is our job. It is our job to shut the devil up. Powers and principalities to make the power of God, the manifold wisdom of God known to them. It is our job, but we need to have that understanding first. So I thank you when we ask for bread, we don't get a stone. And I thank you, Lord, that right now you're helping each and every one of us go from glory to glory, increasing in the truth of who we are so that we walk truly with Christ in us. Because if Christ is in us, there's absolutely no lack. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.